was. I never denied wasn't there. I always said I was there, but I was there for a particular reason. And that's what the Commonwealth suppressed, the reasons I was there. When we came back here in Philadelphia to find out what the seriousness was, we got arrested. We got arrested together, and we was taken down to 8th and Race. And no sooner we got there, they start beating us to the point where they said that I said I did it, and they said he did it. That's what how severe the beating was. And from there, they kept us down there for overnight, 8 hours or whatever. And then they took us to the detention center. No sooner I got to the detention center, I went to the hospital, and I reported what happened down 8th and Race. And then, you know, my lawyer came up there, which was Joel Snowski. And I told him what they did and so forth and so on. And fast forward to the pretrial motions, right? We went to the pretrial motions, and we was trying to establish that how bad they beat me, but all of a sudden, the medical records disappear.
Come on.
I was born by the river in a little tent.
Well, number one, the person, the deceased had got shot one time, right? It was only one bullet, but yet they got two people there saying that they said they did it, you know. So my co-defendant went to trial first. My co-defendant went to trial in May of 1977. He got convicted and went to death penalty. He got the death penalty. So 30 days later, they tried me for the death penalty and tried to get me the death penalty, knowing that they already had a death penalty for the person that they prosecuted for actually doing it.
So they tried y'all both for the same crime?
For the exact same thing, but separate trials. He went to trial first. He got convicted of first-degree murder and got the death penalty.
And that's because, what, you were with him?
Well, no. Well, they theory of the case that both of us some kind of way shot the guy. One, the guy got shot.
Y'all, both of y'all holding the gun at the
holding
same
the gun
time.
Is, like, yeah. Well, one of the things that happened during the trial, his trial was first, my trial was second. We had separate trials, and each trial they put the gun in our hands.
Both of y'all.
Both of us. Yeah.
Okay. But, so he got the death penalty?
He didn't die in the death penalty, but he got the death penalty. He got convicted of first-degree murder and got the death penalty.
So is he, like, lined up for execution, or is it—
Well, he was, and then the court under Commonwealth versus Mooney declared unconstitutional, and then he wound up getting life sentence.
He's still locked up?
Well, he's passed now.
He
died of cancer.
Crazy. I mean, that's bananas. Mm-hmm. So he died in jail.
Yeah, he died in jail.
Yes, it will.
Well, no, it was a dispute, but it wasn't like they said it was. It was a dispute between him. That's one of the issues of the case, is they made the decedent like a Johnny Good Citizen, and he was, in fact, a drug pusher.
Okay.
And they was having a dispute over some bad drugs, and they got into a thing, and I wasn't really in the room, so I didn't see where the gun came from. I never seen a gun, but all of a sudden I heard a shot and I ran out the room.
25 years old, what's going through your mind?
What's going through my mind is panic. I had a family, you know, I had a wife and daughter, a house. Like I said, I had a store on 29th and at that time, Columbia Avenue, now CCB Moore.
Okay.
And I was living a decent life, you know.
And they took it.
Yeah, they took it.
Your kids are alive?
Yeah.
The wife?
Grandchildren. No, we're divorced.
Okay.
Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know.
You know, if they're listening, you know, or you had a chance to look these people in the eye, you know, what would you say?
The people, meaning?
the prosecution?
Their job, they ought to go back to school and learn what their job is, to seek justice.
Right. That's what I would say. Yeah. Or not even be there.
Yeah, you know, not be there if they're not going to seek justice. You know, they got a district attorney office in there now that really trying to do the function of a district attorney office, which is to seek justice, because the district attorney is not a lawyer for anyone other than everybody.
Right.
Because they supposed to protect your rights and make sure you get a fair trial and don't hide evidence and, you know, to prevent you from presenting your case.
I mean, well within your rights, looking to sue, obviously.
Yes, we have litigation. We have litigations in, and we're going through that process right now.
I mean, I already told you, 100 million up. Somebody keep telling me don't. These people are in position, you know, if you're listening, they can alter your life.
Take your life.
Illegally. I'm sure Mr. White is one of, I say, hundreds of thousands of people that are detained right now. And it's just overwhelming how fast, without interference, they could change somebody's life.
Right.
I mean,
that's true. I know a lot of guys back there. They have similar situations, especially in the era that I came up in. The Rizzo era, where they no sooner as you got in that police station or in that roundhouse, they start whipping you with big law books, chairs. If they don't think nobody's seen you come into Afant Race, they put guns to your head, threatened they could kill you without nobody knowing what happened to you. I mean, they was vicious down there. It was pure torture, just like the Sex and Lies. They get people to come and say that you did something that you didn't do in front of the jail, and have girls coming in there and prostituting themselves or girls' friends and give up sex, you know, to...
What prison is this?
Not prison. This is, well, that time, I'm talking about Afant Race.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Homicide right Division and the Major Crimes.
And I say, brother... Talk to me about the people that, you know, the lying witnesses and the sex, I guess, and all that.
Well, like my witness, it's that this girl was a young girl that probably around 16, probably started working for this guy when she was 15, you know. And this guy really, really the guy that deceived, you know, hate to talk about the dead, but this guy was a pedophile and everything. He, you know, having sex with young girls. You know, having working for him with the drug trade, and they protected this guy, and we didn't get the evidence, all the evidence, but they say he was an informer. He was an informer for the police, so
sounds
he was right.
Right
there on 20th and Jefferson selling drugs openly, and
with their support.
Yeah, with their support. In fact, this is how vicious it was. They actually arrested him in the store, I think, at least three times under undercover agents, right? And that's what they hid. But they were saying that it was a good, wholesome store. And they had the witness that testified against me, they had her say, the cops and the DA had her, knowing that she was lying, because, like I said, they raided the store at least three times, knowing that she was lying, saying there were no drugs sold in the store. We found out later, maybe 2 months before the decedent was killed, they raided her house, which his stash was in. I think they got over 1,000 bags of heroin in her house. But that's the kind of stuff they hid. Over 1,000 bags of heroin.
Back then, that was the whole enchilada.
yeah, back then, yeah.
That was everything. So she's the one that was the witness in your case?
Yeah, that put me on the scene. But that was no dispute because I put myself on the scene.
Right.
But the reason that was there, that's what they suppressed, and that's what they hid evidence to establish the fact that I was there before the jury could believe or had the opportunity to believe that I was there as a victim like everybody else was there. And it was a situation, it was an individual situation between the decedent and my co-defendant.
I was born by the river.
You gotta be angry about it.
Well, I can't afford to be angry because you can't think when you're angry. And so what I have to try to do is, well, because I'm a religious guy, so I keep my faith in God. And God brought me through it, you know. I went through all the agony and all the suffering and all the, you know, disappointments and depression that I guess a human being under the circumstances have to go through. So it was a lot of pain and suffering.
I mean, even though you did not commit the crime, there's kids out there that are doing whatever out there right now. I mean, what advice do you have to them in reference to actual being inside that maybe you could just give to them to let them know that jail's not for y'all?
It's absolutely not no joke. And it's absolutely not necessary for the things that young people is doing these days, you know, especially with the guns. The guns is,
it's just
so out of control. And I mean, if they just pick up some kind of sport or some kind of, anything to occupy their mind. A book. To pick up a gun is going to cost them their life. And they've given out so much time. It took me, I'm innocent of my crime.
Right.
And it took me 46 years to get out. And that court thing, the court just...
system, you know, is broken.
It's broken because you're going to get an ambitious person on that side, right? That is not going to care anything about your life. Don't care nothing about your family ties. Don't care if you have children. Don't care nothing about your children. You know, in fact, actually, I think in my era, the era that I came up, it affects the children that we see in the street doing this stuff because they took their fathers.
It's been a long.
Also in my era, they closed down the mental institutions like Farview and different mental institutions around the state, and they opened the jails for it. And jails, if people got mental challenges, it's not a place for them, you know, because what
you
they
become
did.
Become a victim.
Because what they did is they mixed like the so-called common criminal with the mentally people, with the mentally disturbed people, with people mm-hmm. got real serious mental problems.
Right.
Not to even mention like what they go through with drugs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, and then no families, no kind of support. So there's a whole lot of factors that that the prison just don't treat because, number one, they got really young people that they hire, and some of them are so happy that they not caught up in the jail system that they on the other side of the jail system, they guards or some kind of officials in the jail. But even those folks, you have some that is sensitive and really try to do something to help the people that come through there. But it's really a messed up situation because there's so many factors that cause a person not to even do anything with their life, even when they come out of jail, because they kind of kick you right out of jail. You know, they got different little programs now, but a lot of them is pretty much superficial.
Let's talk Second Justice. Okay. Let's talk Joseph Marone, Michael Pomerantz, all those guys over there. I mean, what do they mean to you right now?
Oh, man, they mean the world to me because what they did, they really stepped up, especially after my 30 years extra and seeing my story, read my story. A mutual friend sent Joe up there to see me. And I told Joe what my story was, and Joe really got on to him and Michael Pomerantz. And what they trying to do, in fact, they seen the need for second justice. They seen the need that, you know, people like myself don't have no money to get no really qualified lawyers or quality lawyers. And they stepped up with that, and they've been working since. I've been out, and just before I came out, they started coming up with the idea of second justice. And so now they're really getting some good people. You know, we just hired the sisters that just ran for attorney general.
Okay.
And she really doing wonderful things over there for Joe. And I think we're really going to go some places, I think. And then we're not just thinking about Philadelphia. We thinking about Pennsylvania. We thinking about making being a model for the whole country, if not the world.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey. And I'll tell you right now, Joe Marone would scare a lot of folks across that bridge.
Yeah,
because I know a lot of people locked up for things they didn't do, and how corrupt the system is. It's just a business.
It's a business. Pure business. Money.
It's business, right?
It's all
if
money.
If you can afford it, you going home. But if you can't, you going to sit. I'm not going to slam the public attorney, you know, public defender's office or something like that, but, you know, they work with the prosecutor. You know that,
and the lack of resources for the public defender's office. They don't match what the other side have.
Right,
the state they can't match that. They only get a certain amount of money from the state or from the local county that they represent. And like in Philadelphia, I knew some really good public defenders, like Bradley Bridge. Bradley Bridge actually is the one who won. And you know, let me just mention this. You know, I just didn't get a new trial 30 years ago. I got discharged from my trial judge. Trial judge, seeing how egregious what they did to me was, and he discharged me. Now, though I'm grateful for the federal courts for giving me the new trial, but in fact, I really should have got a discharge.
Got you. Mm-hmm. The habeas corpus thing.
The habeas corpus was granted by a great judge, John Padova,
right?
And he did a wonderful job in writing the opinion, but you know, they were still playing games in Philadelphia because they should have let me be completely exonerated, because that's what Della Porter did, because I never got an opportunity for my side of the story to be put out there until Judge Padova did it. Somebody keep telling me
don't. I always tell people, when you get detained or arrested, you know, make sure you fight, speak up for yourself and all that, because if you're quiet, they'll go through the motions.
Yeah.
And you will end up screwed.
Well, you see, the thing is, you're ignorant, more than like you, ignorant definitely to the law, not to even mention partially illiterate. You know, so you don't know what's going on. You done panic. You full of emotions, and they threatening you. They promise you they're going to let you go. They got the Mud and Jeff game. They got the good cop, bad cop. They got a process that's so expertise, and you an inexperienced person. I had some contact with the law before I came, but not to the degree with this situation.
Right.
You know, and it's really intimidating. So they come and they want you to tell on each other. They want you to blame the other guy, and so forth and so on. And if you don't, they're going to give it to you.
And that's not justice.
No, that's not justice. Not from a civilized society. If we're supposed to be a civilized society, a country or a city or state of laws, and the people who pose and enforce the law breaks the law. A long time coming, but I know. Weed is legalized now. But just imagine the guy who smoked more weed than the guy he about ready to stop about weed, or about ready to lock up the process for weed. I mean, you know, that's the kind of hypocrisy.
Mr. White, we want to thank you for coming up today.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
You like I told you, you like Ruben Hurricane Carter for me, because it's a story I grew up as a kid learning about.
Hurricane Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's real.
Yeah, because I did.
No, he's a fighter, great fighter. I mean, he was a good contender.
Yeah.
He never became a champion. But I grew up under that kind of stuff. And him and the other boy that went in the bar, allegedly posed
him,
and they framed him in the
bar. So did he get an award, though, for, like, fighting for justice?
Yeah, some kind of award. I can't remember exactly what it was now. But, yeah, because it was a great story. In fact, I think he got out under habeas corpus, if I'm not mistaken.
And that was that due to same situation with the detective, I forget his name, from the movie. But whatever, you know. Yeah. Anyway, well, blessings, man. We welcome you home.
I appreciate it.
You know, Joseph Marone, we thank you, you know, for bringing home this brother. And, we checking out. Give money, give love. And have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. You appreciate it.
Thank you.
But I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Yeah, I'm having bad dreams in the afternoon and I'm paranoid. Yeah. That loud screaming and it's laughing too, this shit annoying. I've been running, 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 still I can't avoid it. Trigger fingers started bugging, I just can't avoid it. I'm having bad dreams in the afternoon and that's paranoid. That loud screaming and it's laughing too, this shit annoying. I've been running, 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 still I can't avoid it. Trigger fingers started bugging, I just can't avoid it.
Yes, 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 yes. Make sure y'all go check out New Jersey's first boutique micro dispensary, okay? 632 White Horse Pike. Go check it out. At Green Oasis NJ on Instagram. Big Juice. Serious. We going up, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in. Stick with us.
I've been taking everything serious. Why I got a meal get like this serious? I've been getting straight to the comma that's serious. Y'all didn't want to get a beat going, I'm serious. See in the morning like a honey, not Cheerio. Brand new, smell up on a brand new material. Father had to pay a few bands on a barrier. Got too high, had to move it out the area.
Yes, let's go.
Feel like Nagasaki. We whip out the soda, then we fill up pockets. And I got this soda like I'm Fetty Wap. And I love my bitch even though she dead inside and slip. It's type to eat a salad. We shoot in the bush, you know the beat around it. Still I keep it hush, I know they creeping around me. In the club, we shit, they know they ain't allowing.
Sunday, show up, NYC Buffet. 1003 Black Horse Pike, Folsom, New Jersey. Celebration for Douglas Henry Sr., third annual Henry Motown Classic Showdown. Motorcycles, classic cars, live music. Trey Seth, Seven, let's go. Big Seven, what's up, baby?
N-I-M-J.
We don't just make promises, baby. It goes down.
Stop playing with me.
It always goes down with us.
Yeah.
Jersey, let's go.
Yeah. Stop playing with me. I could have had some hitters come running your spot. Stop playing with me. I could have had some hitters come run up your block.
Woo!
Stop playing with me. I could have had some shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on gold, they ain't playing around. Stop playing
Seven,
with me.
What up?
I could have had some hitters come running your spot. Stop playing with me. I could have had some hitters come run up your block. Stop playing with me.
Everybody,
I could have had some
radio
shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on gold, they ain't playing around. To you, but we let him rock.
Ha.
Stop playing with me. Because you gave me every reason they come get you dropped.
Talk
Stop
to
playing
him.
With me. But why would I let him touch you just cause you ain't no better? Why would I rush all this money that I could be making and just let you mess up this cheddar?
Yeah.
Stop playing with me. I want a new whip, you won't hear no TikTok. Stop playing with me. They tryna see new wife, so they be on wristwatch. Stop playing with me.
My
hitters
go
big gas, like they live in a pit stop, making these bitch lock. And they get money,
the
cause we on a mission, don't stop till the shit stop. Won't see no names with the shit, can't get bitches, no hitters, they'll rock with a Draco. No, a little shorty, she down with whatever, no, she do whatever I say so. Once I get this check, I'm just gonna run it up, and I'm gonna treat that shit like it's Play-Doh.
I just
I'm not
give
with
a vision, baby,
money,
go.
I'm telling them my silhouette goes, so. Stop playing with me, I could've had
some hitters come run in your spot. Woo. Stop playing with me. I could've had some hitters come run up your block.
Block.
Stop playing with me. I could've had some shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on go, they ain't playing around. Stop playing with me. I could've had some hitters come run in your spot.
Jersey, stop y'all should be all the way up for this one.
Come run up your block. Stop playing with me. I could've had some shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on go, they ain't playing around. Chances, I know that I go for my hitters with reckless abandon.
Okay.
Stop till I drop and I get enough money to just go and buy us a mansion.
Okay.
I rock with the hitters that rock with me, can't switch my side so they know where I'm standing. Them
okay.
Hitters play risky, so I'ma stay energy, cause why the fuck would I chance it?
We should have tied
like guns if I pass on the ratchet, I know that he blaming. I got a homie, he good with the cost for the law if you rock with the scam man. I got a homie like Tony Montana with ARG doing some damage. I don't feel sorry for hitters that turning the ops on my life, they've been planning.
Jersey.
I just been eating, I can't handle slacker, you know I can't roll with the leashes. Cause all the brush you be throwing, I don't take serious, you know I'm facetious. I just go cook like a chef with the recipe, learn this shit, I ain't gonna teach it. Trust me, a strong word, and I know I can never let all these kids breach it. So stop playing with me. I could've had some hitters come running your spot. Stop playing with me. I could've had some hitters come run up your block. Stop playing with me. I could've had some shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on go, they ain't playing around. Stop playing with me. I could've had some hitters come running your spot.
Get money, get love, radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop playing with me.
The new.
I could have had some shorties to come lay you down. Stop playing with me. Cause them hitters always on gold, ain't playing around. Stop playing with me.
Woo. Stop playing with me, okay? Stop playing with me.
Double.
Ain't much.
Let's go.
Mike's hot. I like that. Shout out to Tyler. Y'all already know what it is. It's Get Money, Give Love Radio. Artists tap in. Small businesses tap in. Professionals, entrepreneurs tap in. We going up. It's 5 o'clock.
Cause I'm always smoking. Bad, bad, big crib, and the door is open. Look in my eyes, you can tell it for it. Brand new Tesla, and yes, I'm smoking in it. I'm taking pool after pool until I'm finished. Catch you staring at me, you are looking at a winner. I don't care.
I see you bouncing up and down on that cup.
I can turn 1 to 10 in a New York minute. If the cops question